Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you. Welcome. I'm welcoming you, too. My name's Gary, as Justin said. I'm the location pastor at our Burton location, and I'm excited to be here with you tonight. I have a little problem with my microphone here, but I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. Are you excited to be here? Yeah, I'm always excited to be able to share God's word for a few minutes, but let me pray, and then we'll jump right into it. Father, thank you for who you are, Lord, our creator, our savior. I pray for your word to penetrate our hearts tonight. We thank you for the truth in it, and Lord, just help us to find whatever the next step in our life that you're pointing us to, and help us each individually find that, Lord, through your word tonight. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I was a pastor, now don't get mad at me when I tell you this, I worked for the Genesee County Road Commission, so most people want to tell me how bad their roads are as soon as I tell them that. But I worked there for 25 years. I retired from there. I was an equipment operator and plowed a lot of snow. But after a while, I got tired of plowing snow, so I transferred into the sign shop for a few years. And I did it just to get away from all the calling in. We got called in all the time. And I worked down there for like 5 years, and then one of my buddies made foreman out in the districts where we plowed snow and ran equipment. And he wanted me to come back out there, and he talked me back into it. For some reason, I went back out. But I got awarded, I applied for the job. I got awarded the job. But there was a waiting period always before they actually moved you out to the district. So he was a man short. So anytime there was overtime, anytime it snowed, he would call me in. And I would work the day shift. I would work in the sign shop, and if it was overtime, I would come out there. Well, the very first night that he called me in, I was in a strange truck. I was on a strange salt route. Hadn't been on this road very much. It was dark out, and I don't know if you know. I know you've seen the county trucks going down the road. We got the blade underneath. There's like a 4-foot wing that comes down on the side. And then there's this little laser thing pointing down the road. A lot of people ask me what that is. That's to show you how close you are with the wing to the mailboxes, right? Don't get mad at me about the mailboxes either. I'm sorry about those. but you could put that laser as you were driving. If you kept it like right on the mailboxes or on a guardrail, there was a 2-foot buffer. So you could run with that light right on the guardrail or whatever you were plowing next to, and you were good. Well, I got on this particular road that night. I'm going down the edge of a guardrail, or coming up to it. I put the laser on the guardrail. What I didn't realize is at the end of the guardrail, it was like twisted out a little bit. So when I came by there, I hooked the end of that guardrail, and I just peeled it off. I mean, the whole thing, just half of it just rolled down into the ditch there. And I'm like, I'm panicking. I'm like, I stop the truck, I get out, I make sure everything's good on the truck, make sure the nothing's out in the road. Everything was fine on the truck. Nothing was in the road. So I get back in the truck, and I have a decision to make. Am I going to take responsibility, or am I going to drive away and hope nobody calls in? So what do you think I did? I'm a Christian man. I drove away. It's not one of the happiest times of my life, right? I didn't take responsibility. My hope was there was just a couple houses there that nobody would call in. And honestly, for months, nobody did. So I never said anything. I thought I got away with it. But in the springtime, somebody called the guy across the street there, and he said, one of your plow trucks hit it back in the winter. I've been waiting for you to fix it all winter. You haven't been out here. And guess who my boss sends out there to look at it? So I go out there. He shows up. And he says, do you think one of our trucks hit it? And I said, I'll tell you the rest of that story in a minute. But listen, David, in 2 Samuel, he made a mistake too. A little bit bigger mistake than that. He, while his men were away fighting, he was on the roof of his palace, and he looked across, and he could see one of his warrior's wives taking a bath. Her name was Bathsheba, right? And he was tempted. So there's a couple of things I want to let you know right off the bat here. David was where he shouldn't be, right? He should have been fighting with his men, but what is he doing? He's back where he shouldn't be. And look, we're all going to be tempted from time to time, but there's places that we are tempted more than anywhere else. Those are the places we need to avoid. Look, if you don't want to fall off the edge, don't go, if you don't want to fall off, don't go to the edge. If there's a place where you're tempted, don't go there. Stay away from that. Avoid that. The second thing is, when we are tempted, don't act on it. Run from it, right? I always do this when I think about being tempted. Run from the temptation. David should have got out of there, but what did he do? He acted on this temptation. He ended up getting Bathsheba pregnant. And so he had a problem. He had the same sort of problem I did. He could either take responsibility or he could cover it up. David chose, like I did, to cover it up. And what he did is he called for her husband, his name is Uriah, to come back, hoping that he would sleep with her and then the whole thing would be hidden, right? Everyone would think it was his child. But Uriah, he had integrity. He said, I'm refusing to be with my wife and enjoy the pleasures of being home when my fellow soldiers are out fighting. He slept outside with the servants. Would not do it. So what does David do? He's still got this problem. So he decides to take a bigger step. He sends Uriah right back to battle with a letter. And the letter was addressed to Joab, Uriah's commanding officer. And this is what the letter said. Set Uriah, this is 2 Samuel 11:15. Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him, that he may be struck down and die. Wow. He wanted to cover up his sin so bad. He was willing to commit murder. He also thought he got away with it, just like I thought I got away with the snowplow thing, but you're going to find out I didn't. After Bathsheba mourned the death of her husband, he married her. Everyone thought, hey, he's a good guy. He's going to take care of the widow. But truthfully, what he was doing was covering his sin. And a year goes by. He thinks he's got away with it. But we never get away with our sin because there's somebody who can see it no matter what, and that's God. Right? God knew his sin. And God sent a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan came and called David out. And David came to a place of repentance. But he realized he had sinned. I think he knew he sinned. But at this point, he knew he needed to repent. So tonight, we're going to be talking about sin. And we're going to be talking about three different words that's used for sin. The first one is the actual word sin. It means missing the mark. It's the opposite when, I think we all know what sin is, but it's when we do stuff we're not supposed to do, things that are outside of what God wants us to do. It's the opposite of doing what is right, okay? And sometimes we can sin unintentionally, right? Sometimes we choose to sin, sometimes it's unintentional, right? We don't know that this particular thing is something that God don't want us to do. But David did know, and when Nathan came to him, David finally came to a place where he was willing to take responsibility for his sin. And in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says this, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David says, "I know my transgressions." This is the second word that I want you to understand. This word means sin as well, but it has a slightly different meaning. It means to cross the line, but it is to intentionally know something is wrong and plan and do it anyways, right? It's not unintentional. It's like, I know I shouldn't do that, but you know what? I'm going to sneak over there and do it anyways. That's what transgression is. And that's what David's saying. I know this thing was wrong, and I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyways. When I went back to the snowplow story, when my boss came out that day, he said, "Do you think one of our plow trucks hit it?" I was so convicted. I'm like, I cannot hide this anymore. Also, like David, I came to a place where I had to take responsibility. And I said, "Dan, I hit it. I hit it." And honestly, the moment that I took responsibility, healing began. I felt better immediately, right? There was consequences, but I felt better immediately. Look, God convicted David here, and David's taking responsibility. And like I said, a year had went by before Nathan confronted David. But once Nathan confronted him, everything that David saw brought conviction to him. It says, David says, "My sin is ever before me." Everything he looked at reminded him of the transgression. When he looked at Bathsheba, his wife, he thought of his transgression. When he looked at their child, he remembered his transgression. When he saw his warriors, you know he thought of his transgressions, because that's how he killed Uriah. Look, David thought he had gotten away with it, but God was convicting him. And everything he looked at reminded him that he failed God, that he sinned. What did David do? What is he doing here in this passage? He is taking the responsibility, finally. "God, I have transgressed against you," okay? And if we want to be healed from our transgressions, sometimes as believers, we fall away from God. If we want to be healed, the first step is taking responsibility, telling God what you've done. That is the first step. That's where the healing begins. David goes on in the next passage. He took responsibility, but he also knew who he had sinned against. Psalm 51:4, he says, speaking to God, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." David knows that his sin, his transgression, is against God and God alone. And he's saying here where he says, you are blameless in your judgment. He's saying, however you choose to punish my sin, you are just and right for doing that. God punishes sin. Sometimes it seems like we get away with our sin, but God will always, in the end, punish sin. He will. If we don't ask for forgiveness, if we don't become believers, if we don't put our faith in Jesus Christ, before Christ returns, there's going to be punishment for our sin. We're not going to get away with it. But not only is sin against God, you know, the sin is against God, but there's always collateral damage. Always. Our sin does not only affect us, it affects everyone around us. And look at how David and Bathsheba's sin affected them and the people around them. The sin definitely affected Bathsheba. She lost her husband. I'm not sure she really wanted to be with David, but she lost her husband. Uriah died because of their sin. And honestly, God's punishment to David and Bathsheba was to kill the child. This child died because of their sin. And I'm sure Joab, the commanding officer, never looked at David the same again after he had Uriah murdered. Look, it's no different for us. When we fall away from God, it affects everyone in our life. If we're struggling with addiction or we fall back into addiction, does it affect only us? It does not. It affects the whole family, our parents, our husbands and wives. It affects our children, our coworkers, our friends. Sin affects everyone. Our world is broken because of sin. Look, we can pretend that our sin doesn't affect anyone, but I know this for a fact. It does, because I've struggled with addiction in my life too, and I know how it affected my family. Every time we sin, there is collateral damage. David, in verse 5, says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In this verse, David's not saying that his mother sinned when she conceived him. What he's saying is that he was brought forth in sin. He was born in sin. He was a sinner from conception. Because, which we all are. We're all sinners at conception. We all have a nature of sin. Romans 5:12 says this. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. What's the scripture saying here? All of us are descendants of the one man. The one man we're talking about here is Adam. Adam sinned, and it has been transferred to us as well. We are naturally born sinners. We naturally rebel against God. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, or a young person, nobody had to teach me to fight with my brother. Nobody had to teach me to be selfish. Nobody had to teach me to lie, steal. I naturally did it. I naturally did it. And I still have that tendency. I battle that We all do. We have this sin nature. And David, he's not using this as an excuse for his sin. He's not saying, look, I have this sin nature. That's why I sin. That's not what he's saying here. Because we can look at the first three verses in, if we look at the first three verses in chapter 51, David five times blames himself for his sin. He uses the word me or my five times. And then as we go on, he uses the word I. He's taking responsibility here for his sin. He knows that it wasn't the fault of God. It wasn't the fault of Adam. It was his fault. And he uses another word here, iniquity. Iniquity, again, is sin. But it has a different meaning than the other two. It's not only, iniquity is not only choosing and plotting to do what is right, wrong, but it's continue in that. Okay? Did David do that when he sinned with Bathsheba? Absolutely. First he sinned, and then he continued to do whatever it took to hide the sin. And what David's saying in this passage is, this is who I am. I am a sinner, and I've struggled with it my whole life. I'm no better than anyone else. He's the king of Israel, but he's saying, I'm no better than anyone else. Some of you here this evening may be believers. Maybe you've put your faith in Jesus. But you've fallen away. You've turned away. I mean, we all have been there, right? And we're always like, where did God go? Why did he leave me? But this is what God says. I will never leave you or forsake you. He is always here, right? And when we come into a relationship with him in faith, we are here, right? But when we fall away, when we choose to turn away, God's not leaving us. We're turning away from him. We are turning away. And some of you here tonight may have turned away. And maybe God's talking to you right now and convicting your heart. What do you do with that? What do you do? The first thing you have to do is do what David did and do what I did, and that is to take responsibility. Take responsibility. Own it, right? We're all sinners, and if we're believers and we've fallen away, we need to own that and do what? Repent and turn back to God. Repent and turn back to God. Repent is not only feeling guilty, it is turning away and turning back, right? We need to ask God to forgive us. Lord, I've messed up. I've messed up. I've turned away from you. Please forgive me. And look, if we've really put our faith in Jesus, he will restore us. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with that, and you're feeling convicted by this, repent. Well, first take responsibility, repent, and turn back to Christ. There may be some here tonight that don't know Jesus. You've never put your faith in him. And God may also be speaking to your heart tonight. What do we do with that? The Bible says that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Just like I said earlier, we have this nature of sin. And he says that there is a price for that sin. The wage of sin is death. But here's the good news. There's a free gift of God, and it's eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when we really realize that we are sinners and we're heading in the wrong direction, and we change our mind about who Jesus is, our rescuer, our savior, and we repent, turn from this life and start to follow him. Look, we're never going to be perfect. And it's rough at first to do this change. And I'm not going to lie to you and say everything's going to be great, because it's hard, right? But here's the awesome thing. When we put our faith, when we truly believe that Christ died to pay the wage for our sin, and that he didn't stay dead, he rose again 3 days later, when we truly believe that, and we turn to him to make him the Lord of our lives, he's going to help us. And this is what he does. He sends you a helper. It is also God. It's the Holy Spirit. He will move into your heart. He will strengthen you. He will give you the ability to make that transformation. He will give you the ability to overcome the struggles and the addictions that you're going through. And another thing that's very helpful when you give your life to Christ is you have each other, other believers. Look, we can't overlook that. We need each other. Why do you think we do this every Tuesday? We need each other, right? So if you're here tonight, and if you don't know Christ, and he's speaking to you this tonight, or tonight you know you're away from the Lord, you know you're like this, and you want to get back like this, I'm encouraging you to come up and talk to your table leaders when we pray and when we're singing, and have them pray with you. We need each other, right? And we need Christ. I want to share, I don't know if I shared Romans 10:9, but it backs up what I'm saying. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, there's a promise. You will be saved, right? You will be rescued. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice for us, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who strengthens us. And Lord, I just pray for all of us tonight, Lord, in our walk with you. If there's one here that needs to turn back to you, Lord, I pray that you give them the boldness to come down and speak with somebody. Lord, if there's someone here that don't know you and you're speaking to them, give them the boldness to come down and find out what it's all about, Lord. Lord, we trust you, we believe in you, and we love you. And Lord, we're excited about the work you're doing here. In Jesus' name, amen.